I would say that there is probably, if they're like me, there's many questions that we would have when we really think deeply about the concept or the discipline of prayer. Prayer is something that is very complex on one hand, but yet extremely simple on the other. When you spend your time and you think deeply about prayer, you are just overwhelmed by how amazing it is that God, in His Word, asks us to pray, in fact, commands us to pray. But yet, He already knows everything that's going to happen. He already knows the future, the past, the present, all of those things. But yet He asks us to pray. And it's a credible thought to think about, and I will tell you a personal testimony that God has been just churning in my heart over these past month or 6 weeks or so, this concept and idea of prayer. I've been asking a lot of questions of God and of the Scriptures in regards to this truth, this command that we are to be people who pray. This week, I've been doing a lot of asking God about how to lead you and how to minister the Word of God effectively among you, especially in the evening service as we are in between our series. And it has been amazing to see how this idea, this concept, this discipline of prayer continues to surface. I saw it in my devotions several days in a row. I love to listen to sermons as I travel, and as I took Aubrey out to meet her grandparents on Friday night, I was listening to some sermons, and the second sermon that I had play, which I didn't know it was going to play, was on prayer. I didn't know it was going to be on prayer, but it was. And I was judging at Teens Involved, which is where young people go, and they preach, they do drama, they sing, they do all kinds of things, and just to develop their abilities and talents for the Lord. And there were dramas on prayer. I went with a couple other pastors, and one of the messages that ministered most to them was on prayer. And so I started to see this continuum of this prayer. And I realized that, you know what, God wants to really focus us in on this concept. And if I have questions, you probably have questions on this discipline. We can learn from one another as we march through this idea of prayer. And I believe what God wants us to do in the next several weeks or however long it might be is to look at this discipline of prayer and just try to understand it a little bit more. Why is this important? Why is it important that we understand prayer? I really believe that when you take all of the wonderful revivals that you've seen down through history, you see prayer behind them. You see people of God crying out to Him. I am convinced that as we have a desire, and I believe we do, to reach this community for the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that it's going to be on the back of prayer. And I believe that God desires to shape a vision, or how do I define a division, a vision, a view of the possibilities that God can do in this community, through this church. And it's going to be as we pray. Now, what's amazing about all of these things is that in my own personal heart and in my own life, I want to know and to learn these truths myself. And I need to know these things in order to be able to even teach them to you. And I desire to do that, and I want to, and I want my prayer life to grow. I want to develop that. I want it to become stronger. I am fully convinced that in my role as a pastor, I need to be a man of prayer. In my role as a father and a husband, I need to be a man of prayer. As a man, I need to be a man of prayer. As a leader, you as women, you need to be women of prayer. And so as I began to think about it, of all of this and asking God for direction and how we are to approach this incredibly vast discipline, I got on my knees and I just asked the Lord, Lord, I know that you desire me to preach in prayer, but I need a message. I need to know how it is you desire to us to approach this on Sunday night. Well, the answer that God gave me was very interesting. It's in Matthew chapter 26. And I invite you to turn there tonight in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, as you can tell, we are nearing the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. In Matthew chapter 26, we have the events that took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'd like for us to read this account, and then we will take a look at this discipline of prayer as it is addressed by our Lord Jesus. I'll begin at verse 30. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered, and he said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit you here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Verse 38. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and he finds them asleep. And he said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And the story goes on to record what happens as Judas comes, kisses him, and betrays the Lord Jesus. And thus the trial of the Lord Jesus begins. Well, as you see here in this passage, we have the characters. The characters in this is the 12 disciples. The 12 disciples, and we have Jesus. They have just finished meeting together in the upper room with the Last Supper. They've concluded their time together. And remember, during that time was when Judas was dismissed to go do his deed. And Jesus, during that time, instituted the Lord's Supper in a time of remembering him. Very clearly during this time, we know that John records more of what takes place in that time of communication. Chapters 13, 14, 15. And we see here that all things are now pointing towards Jesus Christ and his upcoming death. Now, Jesus has spoken of this to his disciples already, but it seems as you read down through this, that they don't believe it's going to happen. They don't see it to be necessary. They see Jesus as the Messiah. He's going to set up his earthly kingdom. That's gotta happen. So nothing's going to happen to you, Jesus. And so they have this in their mind. And so therefore they leave the upper room. They head to the Mount of Olives. Jesus declares again in verse 31, "All you shall be offended because of me this night." In other words, tonight is a night where you will be pricked. The things, the events that are going to take place tonight will be offensive to you and cause you to do offensive things. Jesus says, "For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." Jesus very clearly pointing his finger at the disciples and saying, "Listen, the shepherd's going to be smitten tonight, but the sheep are going to be scattered." He's speaking here to his disciples, and the inference is, I am the shepherd, you are the sheep. In verse 32, "But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Now, the disciples, they must have missed that verse. Or maybe they're like you and me, and in the heat of the moment, we just get so earth-focused that we miss the heavenly truth. I mean, Jesus just says there that tonight is not the end of the story. He says it so very clearly. After I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. I'm going to be alive. And I'm going to be there in Galilee to meet with you. But the disciples answer in verse 33, they say unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus, of course, now, when you see that, Peter, he's usually the one you see, the spokesperson, and he hears communicating, "Listen, this is not going to happen to me. I'm stronger than that." And this is, of course, when Jesus says unto him, "Verily I say unto you, this night you're going to deny me." Three times. Deny me. Denying someone that's a strong, strong term. I mean, it's just not the fact that you are just giving up on someone, it's the fact that you are denying that you even know them, that you're denying who they are, who they claim to be. And thus, Jesus says this of Peter. Of course, Peter's response is, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. And so all the whole clan is agreeing in this whole concept. We are in it for the long haul. We stand with you. We will not be offended. So they come to the place called Gethsemane. We're very familiar with what goes on here, most of us here tonight. This is when Jesus bows before his Father, and he sweats drops of blood. This is just an incredible time of stress upon his life. You see the Lord Jesus in his humanity here, as he's experiencing the great burden of what is about to take place. Now, I'm building all of this. This is all a building of the setting as we come to this concept of prayer. Because Jesus, they come to Gethsemane, verse 36, and he says to his disciples, "Sit you here while I go and pray yonder." And so Jesus says, "Disciples, you sit here. I'm going to go and pray." So what's he do? He goes, he takes the three that are in his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, and he takes them with him, and they go a little further into the garden. And it says in verse 37 that he takes them, and he begins to be sorrowful and very heavy. Now, he is revealing to these three his heaviness of heart, his incredible sorrow that he is feeling as a result of what all is going to take place. He is showing this to them. Verse 38, he says unto them, "My soul's exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here and watch with me." Notice the instruction. You stay here and you watch with me. You be alert. You pay attention. Now then what happens is Jesus goes in a little bit farther. So you have the disciples sitting at the entrance of the garden. You have the three, Peter, James, and John, a little bit further into the garden. And then you have Jesus even further still. And then Jesus cries out in this prayer, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And then after that, he comes unto his disciples. He finds them asleep. And this is where God wants us to focus tonight. He says unto Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now those phrases struck my heart. Why is that? Well, as we consider prayer and why is it important, why do we need prayer? I believe one lesson, and this is probably all we will get tonight, but one lesson, one thing, one reason why we need prayer is because it is an alertness to the schemes of evil. An alertness to the schemes of evil. An alertness to the weakness of our own flesh. And this is significant because of the setting in which we see this. Why? Well, Peter has just been told what? "You are going to deny me 3 times tonight." Now, is that a positive thing to be told? Is that a positive thing that, yes, I'm ready, let's go, I want to do that? Absolutely not. In fact, his very response speaks to otherwise. "I will never do this. I will die with you before I will deny you." And what we see here is we see him, he falls asleep when he was told to what? To watch. And Jesus, when he comes back to him, he does not speak necessarily with compassion. He speaks with an urgency. He speaks, "Listen, Peter, this is why you are to be praying and watching. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." Now let's think about the ramifications of this. If Peter were to be praying here, if he was engaged in a communication with God, his focus, the focus of his energy and of his spirit would have been upon the things of God. Now, we know what happens. We know that Peter does deny. Of course, Jesus said he would, and it happened. Happened exactly the way Jesus said it would. We also know from Luke's account that the conversation on the way to this garden had to do with who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. So we know that there was a battle going on in the disciples about who was the greatest. We know that there was a lot of lust that's going on. Lust of the flesh and lust of just pride, desire going on in these men. And this was at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry when he was sorrowful and heavy. And here we see this phrase that Jesus speaks, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing." Why does he say that? Because Peter, like many of us, express a desire to be faithful to God, a desire to stand with God and to be prayer warriors for God. But let's face it, our flesh is weak, isn't it? Our flesh is weak. And what Jesus says here is he says, listen, the importance of prayer is that you enter not into temptation. And I find that to be very challenging to my own heart. Why? Because we live in a world that is full of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John 2:16. We have been told from the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5 that we are to walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Why does he say that? Because the lusts of the flesh are real. You and I know the flesh so well, don't we? We touch it, we feel it. It is who we are physically. And so it has a very powerful effect upon our being and our existence and our focus. But Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, gives this profound point. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Peter, you've been confronted with pride tonight on the way to the garden. You've made declarations about yourself. Your spirit is willing, and I see that. But your flesh certainly is not up to par. It is weak. So as we think about this concept and this idea of prayer, it is needful and important for us that this be a discipline in our lives. Jesus, when he says watch and pray, he uses that very same word that Peter uses when Peter says be sober, be vigilant, watch. What's he speaking of? Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And dear ones, we're not any better than Peter. You know, we look at Peter and we condemn him for the things that he does and says. But I don't think that any of us should pass judgment, but rather we should take from the lesson that is taught here. We need to pray because our flesh is weak. Why is that? Prayer engages us, engages our spirit with our Savior, which confronts the adversary, confronts the flesh. It redirects our focus from the things of this world to the things of God. And God is not the one who tempts us to do evil. He is our Savior. He is our Deliverer. He is our strength. He is the provider of that very shield of faith that repels the darts of the evil one. I'm excited because God taught me I need to pray because it helps me to be alert to the schemes of the evil one. I'm excited because I want to be alert. I want to be ready. I want to be watching. Because I know my flesh is weak. God, tonight is, as you have taught us, just a simple truth, but yet it's so profound. Our flesh is weak. And so, Lord, we need prayer and we need this communication with you. I pray that you would challenge your people, all of us tonight, that we need this discipline of prayer in our lives. Help us to obey the command to pray without ceasing. Help us, Lord, because we want to be warriors who are alert and ready, who are standing strong. For the battle is real. The enemy is powerful. But our God reigns over all. Amen.